Welcome to Cisco Tech Beat, the podcast that explores the people and stories behind what inspires the newest innovation. I'm your host, AB, and as we approach CX Day 2023, I am happy to welcome two fantastic guests to the show. Harry Caldwell, Cisco's very own SVP and GM, CX Americas, and friend and customer, Ali Al-Sadawi, lead enterprise architect at Honeywell. Gentlemen, without further ado, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, AB. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us, AB. Happy to be here.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so glad you're both here. This is great to have two voices. So I want to talk about this alliance that we have with Honeywell. I mean, it's such a great relationship. And I'm really curious as to how we forge these relationships. So I'm going to actually start with you first, Harry. What did that initial engagement with Honeywell look like? And then how has that relationship grown over time?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. And Ali, it's so good to see you again, my friend. Glad you're here and looking forward to this conversation. So the conversation with Honeywell began with really software management in mind. So Honeywell was going through some things, which I think Ali is more able to discuss in detail than I can. But essentially, they were using a lot of time, energy, and effort to get things done in their environment from a maintenance perspective, from software upgrades and things of that nature. And the discussion began in a way where we were trying to figure out how we could be of service to Honeywell. What could Cisco do to change the narrative, to give them time back so that they could focus on the things that matter most? And I think the way the partnership has developed over time is we've gone from trusted advisor to strategic partner. I think trusted advisors are sort of that transactional area where we work with customers in situations and under circumstances that land with a start and a stop in mind. And I think strategic partners are more aligned to what is the directional vision and how do we move in a way that gives customers the sort of end state they envision for themselves. So it's more of a journey. I think that's where we are today with Honeywell. I'll let Ali describe it if he believes
it. Yeah, no, that's great. Yes, Ali, please, from your side of the aisle, give us your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to shed some light about Honeywell's sheer size. Honeywell is a global company, and as you know, we're involved in many technologies. Our first initial engagement with Cisco was revolving around the area of how can we make our environments more efficient, scalable, centralized. With the collaboration and hard work that we put together with Cisco teams, we were able to develop, build, and achieve those goals. And one of those goals is that to reduce the load on maintenance, managing our entire network infrastructure, all centralized in one place. With the use of Cisco tools and the collaboration that we put together with Cisco, working together, we were able to achieve many different goals. One of them is actually moving from outsourcing into insourcing labor force. Mm-hmm. And we started training and developing in-house solutions.
Right.
So that allowed us to improve the efficiency of our network, run our upgrades, and feel the safety of the devices to being upgraded. In general, this has been a great partnership and strong alliance working together to achieve that goal.
That's amazing. I love the talk about how we've worked together to achieve a common goal. And then I like what you mentioned about being able to work more internally within your teams and within the company. And that kind of naturally segues to the next question I was going to ask you guys, which has to do with a company and its personnel. So, and this is from a quote that I read recently, so I want to get your opinion on this. But I read a quote recently that said that in order for a company to have effective CX strategy, its own employees really need to buy into that. They have to have a belief in what CX strategy is, and they have to support it. So my question is kind of a two-parter, but A, do you agree with that sentiment? And B, what can companies do better to get their own employees really involved in and excited about CX? And I'll let anybody go first. Either one of you can go.
All right, I'll jump in. So, I absolutely believe that there's power in belief. When you think about things like customer experience, it can vary in a wide range of areas over the course of an implementation or a subset of capabilities or user experience profiles. And so this sense of belief is really what moves you beyond those initial hindrances and those barriers. Sometimes innovation encroaches on business as usual, muscle memory, and things that we've come to appreciate in routine behaviors over the course of our careers and or functions. This belief that you can do more or in an innovative way or more effectively, those things stem at first from the mindset, I think. In terms of your second question, where what can customers do in this space? I think one is just a simple acknowledgement of the power that customer experience can offer. We really like this concept of early adopters. We think about that really from a technology perspective, but it's also that spokesperson who gets some initial impressions of a feature or a capability or an innovation, and they bring those things to life in their daily jobs, and then they can reflect and represent those gains to the broader population. So the belief is both in the Cisco partnership and the customer working together to get through barriers and hindrances. And then it's also the customer's belief system that what they've invested in and value can be brought to life through early adopters, which brings scale and real value materialization in their environments. That's the way I'd probably answer it, AB, from my perspective. Alan, how about you?
Yeah, I believe I agree with that statement as well. And I believe that it's a collaboration between the customer and the service provider or the 100% technology provider. It's from the organization perspective, I believe if the employees are being aware of the organization's mission and they fully understand that and it's a clear text for them and they act upon that, that would lead them to be successful in their interactions with their customers. And eventually, the customers will know what needs to be done and the customer will succeed as well. So the success of a customer is a success of the organization that's providing the services.
That's brilliant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk CX a little bit more now. Of course, this is a CX podcast. So of the many traits that you find with good CX, collaboration, innovation, knowledge, I've heard you both talk really passionately about communication and how it's important and paramount to the CX experience. So I have a two-part question. What's your communication style within your team? And do you employ the same tactics when you're communicating with others outside the company?
I'm happy to take it first, AB. You know, I think there are a couple of things that I try to keep in mind when it comes to communication style. One is I really want to drive clarity. I think one of the things that leaders have to do is create that clarity. And so taking things that are complex and heavily involved in simplifying, distilling those down to the things that matter to keep them relevant for the audience. I think that's a part of just general leadership. So my style is really to try and be clear and to be transparent and then to hold accountable. Those are kind of the three elements I try to leverage. In addition to those, I want to empower people. And so one of the things I try to do is create the space in my style to give people the ability to move and to have clarity around where the mission is and where their role fits into mission, right? If that makes sense.
Sure.
I think when it comes to things like communicating externally, clarity is kind. I think Brené Brown says in her work around vulnerable leadership. And so I want to do similar there. I think the other thing is to be consultative. I don't come to any situation presuming I have the answer. And so I want to be consultative in my style and approach with customers.
Right.
And I think the third thing is customers expect us to have a perspective. And so Cisco has the privilege and of having multiple decades of experiences in the space where we play natively with our customers. And so having a perspective and then holding one another accountable. I want Ali to hold me accountable as a partner I want to be able to hold Ali accountable as a customer so that together we're on the same path, understanding where we're going, why it matters, and what those outcomes we're pursuing collectively look and feel like to his organization.
Nice. How about you, Ali?
I believe in the quote that says communication is key. Communication opens up a plenty of opportunities. Clarity is one of them, absolutely. It leads to healthy, good relationships, whether organizations, individuals, employees, colleagues, customers. And like Harry mentioned, it provides clarity, simplifying complex topics into a lot simpler, digestible talking points.
Right.
And getting everybody the opportunity to understand and contribute to that communication. So my approach internally is exactly similar how I would approach externally. My success in communication with my coworkers, future shapers at Honeywell is working with them, collaborating with them, listening to their challenges, contribute solutions, solve problems, and hold each other's accountable. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how it works with customers and service providers. Working together, holding each other's accountable. Ultimately, the ultimate goal is to reach the goal that's been drawn for both parties. Where we go from here.
Right.
That's the ultimate goal of communication.
Yeah, and it from the way you've both described and defined it, there's really a heavy element of trust there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like that. I like that angle where, you know, you learn something, you don't presume, you learn, you hopefully teach, you find that common ground, and then through the, you know, through this building of a relationship and through this great communication, you now have this trust, this trusting relationship where you can move forward and you know what to expect as you as you forge ahead and continue to build together. So I really appreciate those answers.
I'd like to add one more thing to the trust factor that you mentioned earlier.
Sure.
Is that earning trust, whether it's a colleague, employee, or customer, it's a crucial to the success to all parties. Mm-hmm. In winning the hearts and minds. That comes through communication, clear communications. Mm. And having that trust will get everybody to be in a comfortable zone to work together and collaborate.
Love that.
Spot on.
Shifting gears a little bit, I want to go to you, Harry, with something that I heard you say. I think it was at Cisco Live, but you said something to the effect of, we have to have audacious vision.
Yes.
When we think about digital transformation. So let's dive in a little bit deeper in the context of CX. What does that vision look like?
Yeah, I think it's multifaceted, but I'll try and land it here in just a couple of examples. I think audacious vision in an area like customer experience is imagining the things that can be transformative in your environment as a customer. Oftentimes we are risk averse in certain mm-hmm. environments because whether that, you know, there may be regulations that are guiding some of that precision need. There might be criticality around things like patient care, as an example, in other areas. To get to an area or an opportunity that is audacious, I think it means reimagining the ability to reimagine the how you do business, the how you interact with your customers and suppliers and or patients. And so I love this idea of being audacious. I think someone had that in mind, you know, I mentioned in my Cisco Live period or event that you described, AB, how
right.
it meant for me growing up in the Carolinas, my grandparents kind of connecting with them meant getting in the car and driving over to their house, right? And it was a unique experience in person, a lot of love and an affirmation. But as a grandparent today, I have luxuries they couldn't even have imagined. I can pick up my phone and reach out to my granddaughter, at least her parents, my son and my daughter-in-law, and I can connect with her through my device in a way that's rich and encouraging, and I'm pouring into her as she's pouring into me. And so that's an audacious vision. It has reshaped the way I connect and so many millions of others through a vision someone or a team had to bring life in this kind of way to life. So excited. And I think about that kind of thing in CX.
That's a great answer, Harry. Thank you so much. And I want to kick it over to Ali because, Ali, you were at Cisco Live with Harry this past year. And you said something about a saying at Honeywell, why wait for the future when you can create it now? So how do you embody that? Or do you live that motto when you're working with your teams? What does that look like?
Absolutely. We do. We live that motto. We breathe through that daily. I'll give you an example of one of my self-improvement books that I listened to on my Audible application. And in that Audible book, I listened to this quote that says, those who control the present control the future. And in my opinion, I feel like that aligns with the mentality that I carry myself at Honeywell. At Honeywell, our motto is like, why wait for the future when we can create it now? We control the present. We can make things different now in our present. Why wait for the future? We can build, we can have visions now, we can build it, and we can act upon it now. The ultimate goal for Honeywell is the future is what we make it. Whatever future we have is what contributions we provide for it to make it happen. So absolutely, it's why wait for something that's going to be in the future when we can just imagine, envision that now and work upon that and then reach that goal sooner than later.
That's so cool. And I think there are a lot of lessons to be learned about doing that even in our personal lives. Mm-hmm. It's, you could apply that, to what we do outside of the workforce. So I really like that. If you can ping me that audiobook.
That's exactly why we call our employees our future shapers, because everything we do now is destined to be great in the future that is created now.
Love it.
That's so cool. Awesome. I just want everybody to know who's listening to this podcast that Ali and his team at Honeywell were the recipients of the CX Hero Award for Outstanding Automation Award, which celebrates a customer who has joined forces with the Cisco CX to dramatically transform IT operations through automation. So first of all, fantastic. Congratulations. Huge, huge accomplishment. I guess I would love to know, Ali, what the award means to you. And how has winning that shaped how you plan on working with your team in the future as you embark upon new journeys in terms of innovation and transformation and whatever else you're going to accomplish?
Absolutely. My award means hard work, intelligent hard work pays off. It means a symbol of achievement that reflects our strong alliance with Cisco, Honeywell and Cisco. It helps me shape my thought process. It helps me shape how I can encourage others to follow my footsteps and fully engage with each other. Collaboration, working with each other is the key, I would say, to success and to understand each other's goals. So with that being said, it's been a pivotal point in my understanding of how you can achieve things within your career. And that was a symbol of success that reflects our collaboration and hard work together.
I love it. Another parallel between, what we do at work and what we can accomplish on our own outside the office. I mean, really, it's so cliche to hear, but applying yourself, doing the work that needs to be done is going to yield a great result. And in many ways, it yields results sometimes that you wouldn't even expect, but it's you're true. Still gaining ground, which is amazing to hear. I want to shift a little bit over to a discussion about purpose. And I say that because both of our companies have similar initiatives and similar culture when it comes to purpose-driven work. So of course, at Cisco, we're here to power an inclusive future for all. And at Honeywell's mission statement is, make a difference in everything we do. And I think those two align really well. I guess what I'm curious about, and from both of your perspectives, is how does working for a company that is so purpose-driven affect the overall customer experience? Harry, I'll start with you.
Yeah. Thanks for the question, AB. What you find, I think, is each of us has areas where we tend to want to invest time, passion, energy, and frankly, resources. And what I think when you think about the Cisco Power and Inclusive Future for All mission is that increasingly the personal aspirations of individuals can find a home in companies like Cisco and Honeywell, where you can channel those energies and passions toward things that matter to you, that you, in fact, are able to corral, for lack of a better way to describe it, the broader community into those types of areas that makes a difference. And so when I think about things like CX and the customer experience that we're trying to create, it can become the differentiator where right. like-minded interests and values collide with vision and innovation and business outcomes so that we use those things collectively in a way that marshals the sorts of ripple effects and impact in the culture, the communities, the country, and beyond in ways that no single individual is able to do on their own. So What I think about it, when I think about the CX customer experience and Cisco's alignment with purpose, is that we're marshaling all of our energy and effort toward things that ultimately matter. That's the way I think about it.
Love that. How about you, Ali?
I would say that I would totally agree with the statement as well. I would say customer success is one of the key points to measure the success of all parties. One of the keys that I would say is enabling the customer, understanding what the customer's needs, challenges, issues, and then enable the customer by providing the right resources that can overcome these challenges, resolve these issues. I would say that's the core of the success of customer success. By listening to your customers, collaborating on important solutions that matter the most to them, it would actually give all parties an understanding and the learning curve that they need over time to achieve the success. And then based on that, customer success can be measured based on these factors.
Totally.
Totally. Goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but I don't know if you guys find this in your lives, but I find that the more I get in tune with the kind of purpose-driven work we do here, you know, Cisco and Honeywell, I find myself doing things at home too, where I'm starting to think about things more. Like whether it's a green initiative or something, it really infuses itself in my life. And I have to give some credit to some of the work that we do in our companies for that. I don't know if you experienced that at all, but just that's on a personal note. It's something that I have definitely noticed.
Absolutely. And I've watched my behavior, my wife's behavior. We're empty nesters. And so there's all kind of goodness in that. There are days we absolutely miss having the kids running around. But we're cognizant of things like the sustainability motions, right? And leaving, making sure when you leave the room, the lights are off and you don't have water just running while you're brushing your teeth or whatever kind of small but important additive things that can be done behaviorally. You're spot on, AB. I find myself growing in that area.
As I
become more educated, I'm watching my behavior shift as a result of that awareness. So spot on. Agree 100%.
I agree with that too. I keep myself in check at most times. I'm not perfect, but I try my best. Whenever I do something, I take the time at the end of the day and like, did I do the right thing? Should I have gone about this a different way? And how could I be more helpful How could I be more resourceful for others? And definitely, there's always room for improvements, no matter what, no matter how much knowledgeable we get, there's always room to make things even better.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's such a good point, too. Like, did I do it the right way? Because, you know, it's easy to kind of be an automaton and just like, oh, that's right or wrong. But then to be like, oh, maybe if I had a different approach, yeah. I could solve this issue, or I could be, you know, a better ambassador for whatever it is I'm trying to do. But that's great. I love those answers. I'm going to shift now completely to AI, and we don't have to get too deep into it. But of course, as everyone knows, AI is permeating every industry.
Yes.
And within tech, it can be seen in everything from security to innovation to you name it. My question is, just from an overview, do you feel that AI is going to provide better customer experiences, you know, years down the road, or maybe even not that far down the road?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to go first. I think one of the things that we find with AI is there are elements of it that are yet to be figured out, right? Like we know there are some pieces in there that can develop bias, as an example. And we got to keep an eye on that. We've got to keep an eye on kind of the ethical AI aspects as well. But there's absolutely upside in the way that the technology works and can be utilized to render things that are important. And so I absolutely believe that the future is brighter with AI than without AB. One example I'd give here is, we had a situation where we were working through some software documentation, white papers that would be published and that customers could have as part of their awareness of what Cisco was offering in some of these areas. And we used to take an hour per instance to write up that white paper. And we allowed an AI innovation to take a look at some of that and develop the white papers through AI, and it came down to seconds to be rendered. So getting things in the hands of our customers faster is one element where we see just the initial kind of value coming to bear. Another is, I believe AI will be very helpful in rendering what will be eventually predictive things, where customers can get things not just proactively, but predictively, so that they can address their environments in a way that's rich and meaningful and not disruptive in any way, because AI has helped to surface those anomalies as they've developed or even before, because it's looking at the right sorts of things and measuring those over a historical reference point. So I think there's only good sides when you think about the experience coming up, if we're mindful of the the things like ethics and some of those other elements that can trip us up if we're not careful.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I would say AI is still in the early stages of developments. And I believe that there are going to be enormous amount of opportunities in this industry. I would believe that AI would be in many industries. It will get into different technologies. And
absolutely.
A lot of companies will probably have co-pilots helping them achieve different job, different tasks based on what specialty it needs to be.
Right.
And also with AI, it's raising the bar of customer service. That's another huge achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Like Harry mentioned, reducing the time of getting back to the customer in terms of getting something done is a key and is a huge positive for any organization. And having that AI understanding the requests and act upon those, there is no accuracy in AI at this point. It's still debatable. There's still, like you mentioned, with ethics, it's still early. But definitely with time, it will evolve and it will learn over time and it will get better. And AI would be in a position where we can leverage AI to raise our customer service levels. We can use it to solve problems that would take a long time. And then having the human aspect next to that would be a crucial thing. using the AI capabilities of sifting through data in split seconds versus a human is a yeah. good thing to have. So all these key factors, I would say, AI will play a huge role in the success and in improving customer success, customer service across the board for any organization.
Yeah. And I think we all know this kind of ties into my next question, which is more of a broad question, but we all know that, you know, ultimately we want customers to be happy and we want to provide services that they really appreciate, they enjoy, and they come back for more. Right. So, but here's the thing. We know that that's what CX is about. It's about the customer. It's about that end user and that experience. What is one thing you think people don't know about CX or don't understand about CX that you wish they did?
One of the things that I think people are surprised by is something that Ali mentioned earlier, which is that our success is based on your success as a customer. And I don't know that people have sort of rationalized that yet. We're taught over the course of our lifetime of experiences, you don't get something for nothing. And there's truth in that. We learn that over time. But there's also this element of experience being enriched with intentionality. And I think that's the way I like to think about CX. If we can enrich your experience with Cisco's technologies, that value means that you have hopefully not only gotten the outcome you've hoped for, but we've exceeded those expectations, and that the relationship we've built through the course of our getting to understand what your outcomes and strategies are that we've done our best to map to and to exceed in many instances lends itself to a collaboration that only goes further in the future when we think about it. And so I think about value and satisfaction running hand in hand. And I think the CX element of that is we want to drive that value sooner rather than later.
Mm. How about you, Ali?
Yeah,
any
I would say
on that topic?
The main point is to get the customers understand that the purpose of customer success is to empower them, is to enable them to leverage whatever resources available to use technologies to the most full potential. Mm-hmm. So as long as the customers understand that this whole purpose of customer success is to empower them and to help them succeed in their environments, then that's the whole core of customer success, is to make them successful, then everybody succeeds.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think Harry and I had this conversation a while back, but we were talking about it may not be too good to be true. I mean, you know, the idea that, hey, you know, we really want the customers to succeed. I think sometimes people just are not used to that actually being the case. So it's nice to hear that that's our mission. And certainly we are doing our best to drive that. When we move away from work, which I know we don't always get to do, but when we do and we punch out, as it were, we all have different things that we do in our lives, things that bring us joy, activities, hobbies. I'm curious for each of you, what do you do or what are the things that you like to involve yourself in that bring you just absolute joy outside the workplace?
For me, number one is spending time with my granddaughter. She's two, and the terrible twos hasn't kicked in yet. I mean... We've got all kind of fun having her that we're having around the house, as she runs around and she's not pulling things down and she's doing her thing, and we're able to pour into her, AB and Allie, in a way that is so much richer because I get to spoil her and then just buckle her into her car seat and get to send her home. So that's one of the ways that I sort of get my cup filled and the joy that I experience outside of work. Another is I'm a car guy. And so I like these cars and coffee events that happen once a month in our area, where I can go out and kind of hang out with my kids who are now adults. And I can spend time just sort of going through these different vehicles that have either been restored and or brand new off the showroom floor, or maybe some exotics in one corner and some old classics in another, but we get to walk around and peek in and talk to the owners and understand what their journeys have been like. Those things are really fulfillment for me. And then obviously just sort of exercising. I like walking around and some of that when it's not 105 in the shade here in Dallas.
Nice. What about you, Ali? What do you do on your time off?
On my time off, I would like to leverage the time as much as I could into fitness. So I do exercise, like Harry mentioned. He does that. I like to go to the gym and work out. I like to swim as well. Anything that has to do a lot with activities, physical activities and fitness is my number one goal. As you know, that without your health, nothing else matters. So your health comes first and then your family. So absolutely. And then after that, I would basically invest a lot of my time that I have on a daily basis into improving things, learn new things. That how can I be more helpful? And that tied into the previous conversation that you mentioned, AB, how you can get things better in life and how you can do things better if you have the opportunity to do that. And that's the same thing as learning new things, listening to Audible books, give you like somebody else's knowledge in a matter of 3 hours. And so all that tie into doing things outside of work. And I do like cars, like Harry said. I do, although I switched from conventional cars, like, you know, the combustion engines into electric cars.
Right.
So,
sure.
So I yeah, definitely.
And that's good.
And I like animals as well. So always find some time to spend with some animals and family and all that. Definitely. It's there's plenty to do outside of work.
Super cool. And I can relate to a lot of what both of you said. I love cars. I've always loved cars. I love watching those auctions, Barrett Jackson or whatever else is on TV, trying to guess what the price of this 58 Corvette's going to be. Love cars. And I do really appreciate the conversation on well-being, which is something that I know we all take seriously. And there really is something to be said for wellness in terms of physical wellness and, of course, mental wellness. Yes. But then how that lends itself to what Ali was talking about, learning new things. Because when you're at your best physically, you have this, like, you have the energy to better yourself on a, you know, on a learning level. So it's just, they're all so connected. And I totally appreciate both of your perspectives on that. Harry, I know you have kids who are grown now, but when I had, when my son was two, he wasn't a terrible two. He was a horrible three. So I don't know if you're, hopefully your grandchild is not going to be that, but enjoy it while you can. Well, gentlemen, I really am so happy we were able to do this today. Thank you for your time. And I hope that we are able to continue this conversation and have further conversation in person. That will be amazing at whatever the next event is. If we can make that happen, let's try to do that. But I just want to say thank you again. And I hope you enjoyed being on the episode today.
Thanks, AB. Greatly appreciate you and the time that you've spent here. Ali, it's so good to see you. Thank you for your partnership and that of Honeywell's as well.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you both.
Thank you, Harry. I appreciate your time. And AB, thank you for having us on this podcast. We are glad to be here and hopefully we'll meet next.
Oh, yeah. We will. We'll meet. We're going to make it happen.
Love it.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon.
Bye. Bye-bye.